Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today, I have a special guest. His name is Stefan Verstappen. Stefan is best known for his writings and talks on psychopaths and their influence on society. His video documentary, Defense Against the Psychopath, is based on a chapter of his book, The Art of Urban Survival, which we talked about when Stefan was my guest on A Fine Time for Healing in March of the same year, 2015. We hear about psychopaths who commit unthinkable, inhumane acts and assume that these monsters who are devoid of empathy are a rare breed of humanity, but it's really important that everyone understand that psychopaths are found in all walks of life. What is so frightening is that most of us know someone who is a psychopath, though we probably have not identified that person as one. Psychopaths go largely unnoticed because they are experts in blending in. It is only when they act out in heinous ways that we stop and take notice. Stefan, if you're listening, I forgot to give you the call-in number. It is 424-220-1801. 424-220-1801. This could be a problem. Hopefully Stefan is listening and will call in because that is my error. Stefan Verstappen has studied psychopathy in depth and has drawn the ominous conclusion that every hierarchical structure will eventually be under the control of psychopaths. When that happens, they will create a toxic society that will quickly spiral into collapse. Stefan has written books, articles, given dozens of talks and radio interviews, and continues to create videos on how to survive the dangers of living in a sociopathic society. The videos are how to survive war and how to survive corruption, and also Paradise Stalin. He's an excellent documentarist. But Stefan's true passion lies in art, music, and nature. To offer a message of hope, Stefan had designed an auditory and sensory three-dimensional art installation called Trimonic, meaning Third Harmony, that has already been chosen to be exhibited at Toronto's largest all-night arts festival known as Nuit Blanche on October 3rd. It has also been selected as the feature installation for the Ignite Art Festival in Fort McMurray, Alberta. And today he is here, Stefan is here, to tell us about the greater message for humanity behind this art piece called Trimonic, and I think we have him, so let's see. Stefan, is that you?
I think so.
Okay, great. I am so sorry that I forgot to give you the number. I did, right? Okay, so I just sent you the email and just said the number. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you're here. So I was just talking a little bit about Trimonic, but I'd like you to really explain it because you created it, and this has such a profound meaning to you. So why don't you explain what Trimonic is?
Well, Trimonic is an interactive art installation, and you know, as you mentioned, I love art. I love painting, and I used to have a stained glass studio. I loved working in stained glass, but recently I've kind of been interested in installation art, only because it gives you an opportunity to really involve the people that are looking at the art or the audience, so to speak. So with Trimonic, I wanted to create something that would engage the audience. So traditionally, art you would stand back and kind of look at. But with this installation art, you can't just stand and look at it because, well, nothing will happen. So the piece requires you to become involved in the art itself. And then when you become involved in the art, then you are part of the art, you know. And that's kind of the what I like about it. It's inclusive, you know, it includes the people. It's not just the artist standing there to look at this, you know. It's everybody that comes to see it will become a part of it, and they will become part of like a performance art. So in a nutshell, what I have done is I've built, or I'm building right now, three 12-foot tall black pyramids. It sounds pretty ominous. And the pyramids are aligned in a triangle on the ground, and they're about 30 feet apart from outer edge to outer edge. So it's a pretty big thing. And the outside of the pyramid is like a flat black, so it's kind of ominous looking. And it looks a little bit like the Eye of Sauron from the Lord of the Rings, you know, because it has these sharp points. A friend of mine described it as sort of like a Stonehenge made by the Klingons, you know, it's this kind of ominous alien sort of look to it. And yeah, I wanted to do that on purpose because the thing with the pyramid is a pyramid structure is a representation of the control grid. You see, our society is sort of a series of hierarchical structures. And these structures all form a kind of a pyramid pattern. So you have the boss at the very top, or the king, or the pope, or, you know, the ultimate, you know, psychopath at the very top of the pyramid. And then he has his two people below him, and then four people below them, and then eight people below them. And so thereby, one person can control thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of people using this structure. And, you know what, and that's what anarchists are against. Anarchists are against that sort of pyramid structure because it's not an equality paradigm. It is a power down type of organization or structure. So I wanted the pyramid to represent that type of thing, the overlords, the you know, we find the pyramid on the dollar bill, which is kind of ominous, you know, with the all-seeing eye at the top of the dollar bill, for crying out loud. And it shows you that, certainly with the dollar bill, that it's the banking system that controls America. It's not the people of America. It's not the average, you know, Joe Sixpack or the people that's, you know, working hard. No, they have very little say in the way their country is run. Instead, it's run from the top down. So the pyramids represent this whole top-down control system that really eliminates equality among people and kind of makes us, the rest of us, more or less slaves to a system. So the pyramid represents everything that's kind of dark and ominous in the world. But on the inside of the pyramid, it's curved. So the outside is sharp edges, straight lines, and black. So it's kind of, you know, really a right brain, left brain kind of thinking, you know. But on the inside, it's curved, which is more feminine, of course. And it's white. It's representing more of the light. So the idea is that you have to get into the center of the pyramid, or as I like to call it, the heart of darkness, you know. So it requires bravery, first of all, for the audience members that come and see the installation. You have to be pretty brave to get into the center of this thing. And then when you're in the center, you have to do something creative. And in this case, what I'm asking audience members to do is to sing or bring a musical instrument. I'll have some musical instruments down there, some guitars, violins, and things like that. So pick up an instrument or a harmonica or a flute and stand in the center of the pyramid. And then you play a song all by yourself. You know, so it's not a group thing. It's individualism, you know. And when you do play a song, what I've done is I've jam-packed these pyramids with a bunch of electronics. And the electronics is pretty complicated. I've recently just brought in a couple of sound engineers to work with me on it, on getting this to work properly. So what happens is, in each pyramid, there's a microphone, and it will pick up the sound of you singing or playing a musical instrument. And when it does that, it'll feed that sound signal through a computer, and the computer will play back a harmony. So, and it's the third interval that therefore gives the whole art project its name, Trimonic, or the third harmony, is because everything that's going to come out of that is the third interval, which is a harmony of whatever it is you're playing. So you start to play, and then the pyramids will play back to you in harmony. So actually, you're not alone after all. So long as you sing and create, you will be joined by the three pyramids, all singing along with you. And then the final sensory experience is that the inner curved surface of the pyramids will begin to light up, and it will vibrate. The light will vibrate in the same frequency as the harmony. And so that is kind of the message I wanted to send for audience members that come down and see the pyramid. That first of all, you know, you have to be brave. You have to enter into the heart of darkness. You have to be creative. Express yourself. Express your humanity. Because creativity, what I like to say is, creativity is to psychopaths what holy water is to vampires. Psychopaths hate, you know, they hate creativity. And that's for that reason we have to maintain our creativity and maintain touch with our humanity. And when you do that, you will be the center of attention. You will be the star of the show. You will be bathed in light, and you will be bathed in the harmony of your own voice.
And to my listeners, if you really want to see what this looks like, you can go to YouTube and look up Trimonic, that's TRIMONIC, The Hidden Message of the Pyramids, and you can see exactly what this looks like. So, because, you know, when I saw it, I was just totally impressed. This is the coolest thing. And you definitely, if you can access this area in Toronto, you definitely want to do this. So how did you, this is so deep and so profound, Stefan. How did you come up with this whole idea?
Well, you know, I wanted to do something positive, because last time I was on your show, we were talking about psychopaths, and a lot of what I've been doing, you know, in the last few years is writing and talking about psychopaths, because, you know, they are, you know, really the source of most of the dysfunction and misery in this world. And, you know, I'm a peaceful person, even though I like martial arts and I like to play with my sword. But, you know, I'm a very peaceful person, and I'm distressed by the suffering that I see around me. And for many, many years, I've always tried to seek out, what is the source of all this suffering? Why can't we build a paradise for ourselves? What is stopping humanity from creating paradise on Earth? Because we can do it. We have the technology. We have the money. And most people want to live decent, honest, good, healthy lives, you know. So, you know, my research brought me to the conclusion that there is a kind of a sickness, a kind of a cancer in our society, and that cancer is those psychopaths. And that's why, you know, I've spent so much time, you know, pointing that out, because we have to kind of neutralize their influence on our society before we can make a better society, because they sabotage everything we do. All our attempts at peace and harmony and love Somewhere there'll be a psychopath working behind the scenes to sabotage it, to stab us in the back when we try to do this. So I thought it was really important. The first thing we've got to do is face this kind of evil and deal with it. But it's, you know, it's negative. I don't really like to have to talk about this subject. I wish I never found out about it, and I really don't want to have to speak about it. I do so because I find it's vitally important. But at the other end of the spectrum, then, is I've also been trying to think of ways of, well, what can we do then? What is the answer to this? What is the cure for this disease of society that we have, which is created by these parasitical, cancerous entities called psychopaths? Well, so again, I'm trying to get to the, you know, strike at the root of the tree instead of waving sticks at the branches. And the root of our inability to deal with these psychopaths is our lack of humanity, because we've lost touch with our humanity. And this is understandable because, you know, when they get in control of a society, they poison it to a degree. We have all been to some degree poisoned. Our spirits have been dampened. Our psyches have been scarred by the events of our lives and all the evil that's going around. And so before we can do anything else to, you know, overcome the problems of our society, before we can, you know, organize another political party or another philosophy or another protest or an Occupy movement, before we could do any of that, we have to make sure that we ourselves have the light within us, you know. And so that's why I wanted to try and find something positive. And that's why this trimonic is to focus the light on us. We as individuals are amazingly creative. We are all geniuses, and the world needs each and every one of us to contribute our own viewpoint and our own creativity and our own humanity to the mix. And when we do that, like I said, you know, creativity is anathema to psychopaths, because they don't have any. Psychopaths have no creativity, they have no light within them. And so the more we can bring that in, the more we can dispel the darkness that these people spread amongst us. And so that's the idea behind Trimonic, to, you know, just focus. It's a message, and the message is that it's up to us, you know, it's up to you and your own humanity to fight this system, and never forget who you are and what an amazing, creative, and wonderful creature you are, and what a beautiful and awesome opportunity it is to be alive in this time on this wonderful planet.
Right. I agree. Everybody says, what can I do? I'm just one person. But every person has got to shine their light on this world. And I completely agree with you. If each person would just take care of themselves and be, like you say, be creative, be spiritual, be open, be loving, everything
exactly
would change. So this is just an amazing approach to this. I just love it.
Thank you.
Psychopaths and sociopaths cover kind of a wide spectrum of personality disorders. They're kind of in the cluster B personality disorders, along with something I speak about quite often, and that's narcissistic personality disorder. They're all empathy disorders. How are you defining psychopathy as that entire spectrum of these personality disorders?
Yeah, I'm basically, for me, all those, what you mentioned, is they're an empathy disorder, really.
Right.
The narcissism, sociopathy, the psychopathy, and all the other, you know, types of diagnosis, is histrionic personality disorder and things like
right.
that.
Right. Antisocial. Antisocial.
Yeah. But basically, they all stem from a certain disability, let's call it, you know. They are unable to empathize with the rest of life, you know, not just other humans. I mean, these are the people that beat their animals and abuse and cut down trees and pollute the rivers. I mean, they have no empathy for this planet. They have no empathy for other fellow human beings, and they have no empathy for life itself. And so, you know, that lack of empathy will manifest itself in various, you know, nasty ways, depending on each individual, you know, psychopath, whatever their personality dynamics happens to be. They'll express their lack of empathy in their own unique ways, but ultimately they are what my wife always said is against life and against liveliness, you know. And so that is the fundamental principle, is a lack of connection with life and liveliness on this planet.
Right. And they're all dangerous in their own way. I mean, when we think of psychopaths and sociopaths, we think of physical danger, but to each of us, you know, murder and just heinous crimes. But they're dangerous because of the things that they do and their lack of empathy in this world. And how prevalent would you say these people are in our society?
Well, you know, most of the studies suggest that there's between 3 to 5% of the population that are born that way. It's hard to say. You know, there's a lot of debate about the genetics behind it, if there's a gene that causes it, or if it's epigenetic.
Developed.
In other words,
right?
Yeah, it's developed. So it's triggered by the circumstances of life at some point. So, also what happens is because they poison our society. They poison the way people think and the way they act. And so what happens is other people, even though they may not have been born or conditioned to become a psychopathic or destroyed their empathy, I like to think of it as their soul, to be honest with you. I think if you have empathy, you have a soul. And if you don't have empathy, you don't have much of a soul, or you don't have much of a spirit. So they've, you know, tried to poison the spirit of humanity itself. And a lot of people will succumb to that, and they will begin to act like psychopaths as well. So if you add in what we would call the secondary psychopaths, or people that, you know, may have been born, and when I look at children, I find it impossible to believe that some of those children will grow up to be such horrible people, you know, because children are, they just seem so beautiful, you know, and yet you know that some of them are going to grow up to be horrible people and do horrible things. So when you add in that secondary psychopath to the original psychopaths, we're looking at now probably 10 to 15% of the population of people that are just will behave really terribly and do nothing good for the world, you know.
Right. It is hard to believe that, you know, that these little children will grow up this way. And I can, you know, working with people who have dealt with the narcissistic personality disorder, which is an empathy disorder, it changes who they are. It takes their light out of them. It really does.
Exactly.
Yeah, until, you know, so I understand this secondary effect that it has on all of us. And it's amazing how such a small percentage of society can have so much control. I mean, last time you were here, we talked about, you know, how all the politicians are psychopathic, and they're making all the decisions for us, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and what you said, how they can do that. For example, just the psychological manipulation, how they destroy people's souls. Let me give you an example. It's it's the mother or the father in your family that is always telling their kids, well, you're stupid, you're not good enough to do that, you don't have the talent to do anything. And, you know, those few words, you just have to hear those words a few times for it to absolutely undermine your self-confidence and to sabotage your ability and even your desire to try to be and follow your dreams and follow your goals and be the kind of person you want, because it was sabotaged. You know, your parents might have done it. Your teachers at school might have said, well, you know, Johnny, you're just too stupid to do anything like this. You should, focus on something completely different. And, you know, two or three people in your life that were influential that tells you you're not good enough, that stays with you a lifetime, right?
It's true. Psychologically, it takes 10 positive statements for to undo one negative statement said to a child.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, so if somebody is constantly hearing these demeaning negative, you know, being told that they're these negative things and never told that they have any good to offer this world, it's very understandable. Children are so impressionable, and I, you know, that's another thing that I work really hard on. It's one of my passions is teaching parenting, because people don't understand. They think, you know, children do what they're told, not what they see. But it's what they hear, what they see. So this is just so important. So let's get back to Trimonic. How did you actually build this? I mean, you talked about the electronic, but I'm looking at this thing and I'm trying to figure out. I mean, I have an artist side to me as well, and I wouldn't even know the first thing about how to create something like this. How did you actually do this?
Well, first of all, I'm building it in the living room, you know. So. When I plan these projects, it's a challenge on a number of levels. The first challenge, of course, is to try to do something creative and unique, you know, and with my art, I always want to try and send a positive message. I got enough negative stuff already, okay? If I want negativity, all I have to do is turn on the TV or the radio, and I'm overwhelmed with negativity. So I want, you know, to try and do something good and healthy and positive. So. But with this, it's kind of a design challenge, because what I wanted it to be able to do was fit in the back of a pickup truck. So actually, you know, I mean, it's 3 12-foot-tall pyramids, 30 feet apart, you know, and it's all going to fit into a pickup truck. But that was the challenge I set for myself, because, I'm not a rich and famous artist. I don't have a giant studio I could work out of. I only have, usually the last time I worked on my deck, and this time I'm going to be working in the living room. So it's modular. All the pieces fold down and come apart, and they will all fit in the back of a pickup truck and take up no more than 16 inches height, 4 by 8 foot in length and width. And it'll come apart and it'll all bolt together, so that I can assemble this thing with a screwdriver and I can take it apart and I can do it all by myself. I don't need a team. I don't need a crane. I don't need, you know, a cherry picker or anything special. Everything will just fold down and fold out. And, you know, I credit that to, wood shop in grade 7, you know. In architectural drafting in grade 8, you know, and so that was the challenge. It was a construction challenge, how to build this thing that I can assemble it with nuts and bolts, fold it up, put it in the back of a truck, but when I install it, it's this huge, giant, ominous-looking pyramidal structure. So that was one of the challenges.
That's really cool. So is this going to just be displayed in Nuit Blanche one night, on October 3rd, so you're actually bringing it on October 3rd, and it's going to be displayed on that day?
My plan was to have a debut. So Nuit Blanche is really a big event here in Toronto. We have 1 million people that come down and participate in it. The downtown core of Toronto, and Toronto's Canada's largest economic center in Canada, the entire downtown core is closed off. The roads are shut down and it's only pedestrian traffic, and the streets, the sidewalks, the houses, the parquets and things, everything is filled with art for one night, for all night long. So it starts at dawn and it goes all the way it starts at dusk and it goes all the way to dawn. So it was a big honor for them to choose this project to be exhibited. You have to go through an application process, and it has to be vetted by a panel of curators and so forth. So it was an honor for me to be chosen to exhibit at this event. And but what I plan to do is I'm building it in time for the event, and I'm going to debut it. But after that, there are art festivals and art galleries all across North America that have, you know, art events throughout the year. So once I have it built, I will be sending it cross-country to participate in the different art events. So the first one it's going to is the Ignite Art Festival way up north in northern Alberta. If you ever seen the movie Open Range, that's where it's going.
And when is that going to be?
That's going to be October 23rd to November 1st. So it'll be there for 10 days.
Okay.
And then there'll be there's other art festivals. I hope to bring it to the one in Arizona. What's the name of that town? Very famous, very artistic town there. I hope that it will travel across the country and end up next September at Burning Man Festival.
Where is that?
Burning Man Festival is in the Black Rock Desert in Nevada. It's got kind of a reputation for being like a hippie trippy kind of event where a lot of people go around on MDA and things like that. But I think that's given it a bad reputation because when you look at the art that is presented there, a lot of it I don't like. I don't like a lot of contemporary art. I think it's pretentious and not really that creative. But on the other hand, there is some stuff that's just amazing. It really blows my mind. And so what they do is they take, you know, 20 square miles of Black Rock Desert, and which is just flat, right? And it's like the salt flats. And throughout the desert, there are villages that are constructed for a week. And villages and art installations are scattered throughout the desert, and they're mostly light up kind of art installations. And so I'd like to just take my bicycle and bicycle along the desert and discover all these art projects. And then at the end, they set fire to most of them.
You're kidding.
No.
If my listeners want to follow you or find out when you're going to be in their city or close by, how do they find that out?
Well, the best thing would be to go to my website, which is chinastrategies.com, or just Google Trimonic. It'll come up right after the cough medicine. It's like the third listing.
Trimonic, right?
That's right.
So that's TRIMONIC, Trimonic. Right.
Yeah, just
Google,
the easiest way to find it, yeah.
Right. So, but all that, you're going to be listing the different festivals that Trimonic will be at on your website as well, right?
Yeah, I'll be updating that, and I'll be putting out videos. I've hired a really professional video team, and we're going to do drone shot of it, and we're going to videotape everybody that's playing inside the statue, inside the art installation, and then after it's over, they'll be able to go to the website and download a clip of them performing. So everybody
right.
gets their own music video.
So if we all need to make things better on our own, what are some of the things that we can do besides creativity?
Well, you know, from my martial arts, I became very interested in Zen. And the one thing about the Zen philosophy that I like is that they will approach just about anything as an artwork. For example, everybody knows about Ikebana, the Japanese art of flower arranging. You know, they'll take that to an art form. They'll take how to fold a napkin to an art form. They'll take, anything you do, if you do it by bringing your passion into it and bringing awareness into it, awareness is a key. You see, if we do things mechanically, like we're not paying attention to our surroundings, we're just going through the motions, that's what, you know, kind of destroys your spirit. We have to bring our spirit into everything you do. So, excuse me. So baking cupcakes is a form of art. Making a good dinner, you know, the way you cook it, the way you peel the vegetables and the way you, you know, add the seasoning and stir the pot. All of that is a form of art if you do it with love and with focus. So long as you bring, you know, your love of life into whatever you do, you change that activity into an art form. And therefore, you know, and that's how I would say you'd have to make things better. You know, if you go for a walk, leave the damn iPhone at home. I can't believe I go out every day to the park. It's a ritual for me. I have to go for a walk in the woods. And I can't tell you how many times I see people walking down the beach with their head in an iPhone. The other day I was by the beach, and it was a full moon. It was a beautiful night, stars out, and I saw children running up and down the beach. And I thought, oh, isn't that great? You know, I remember when I was a kid and exploring the world and how magical it all was. And then I noticed that the faces of all those children were glowing blue, you know, but it wasn't glowing because of an inner spiritual light that was shining out. It was glowing because it was being reflected off the iPad that they each had in their hand. I'm not kidding, Randy. I saw like six kids, a little boy about 4 years old, a couple of little girls, 8, 9, 10 years old, and each one of them was staring at an iPad. And here they are out on a beautiful summer night. I mean, here in Toronto, we don't get too many warm summer nights, okay? So when they come about, boy, take it in and enjoy it while you can. And yet none of them were aware of their surroundings. None of them noticed the moon or the trees or the beautiful swans. We have a lot of swans where I am. The ducks and the minks and they didn't notice any of it. They were looking at an iPad. And so I really think iPad is a force for evil in the world. I don't know. I just have a thing against those things because it's the opposite of what we need to do. What we need to do is focus on our existence, on our awareness of being in this beautiful planet, and put our love and our attention into the things we do. And these iPads just suck that attention out of these kids. And they never saw the moon. They never saw the trees. And so when they get to be my age, they're not going to have these wonderful memories of being a young kid and exploring the world and the wonder of it all. They won't have those memories because that has been sucked out of them by looking at some silly game on an iPad.
I know. When we think back to childhood and playing outside and, you know, exploring nature and getting right down to the ground and looking at a dandelion and those kind of things. I mean, that was just so much fun. Or just blowing the dandelion, you know, all over the place and watching it fly. I mean, these are the memories that, you know, that the previous generation has of, you know, of life. And that is really, I mean, children don't do that anymore. They just don't. They stay inside. So I agree with you. I think it's tragic what's happening to the children. I think that this has to be, schools need to teach these things. They need to get their heads out of these computers and back into life. So what you're saying is amazingly important, amazingly important.
Go ahead. You know, because what you said before is, what can we do? Listen, I can't, there's nothing I can do or say that's going to affect my government. You know, they're not going to listen to me. They don't care. I can vote. You know, I don't know how much good that's going to do. But that's all I can. You know, I have no influence. I have no ability to change foreign policy. You know, or I have no ability to change the economic conditions of the country in which I live. I the bankers are not going to have me at their meeting. So, but what can we change? Well, the only thing we can do is change our own personal environment, the people we are around, the spaces that we occupy. That's where the you know, the message of you know, expressing yourself is, to change that little sphere of your life that you can change. I can't change the big problems, but I can solve the little problems. So, you know, I can make things better with my neighbors. I can talk to them. I can bring them, you know, some leftovers if I've, you know, cooked a decent meal. I can talk to the people that I'm sitting on the bus with. And I do that all the time. I always strike up conversations on the bus. People think it's weird. I know. But listen, I don't care. You know, think I'm weird. I'm weird. Trust me. Yes, everybody knows it. So, but let's talk about things. Let's talk about the way the world is going. Are you happy? Are you doing what you want to do with life? You know, take out a musical instrument, go sit in the park and play, you know, go for a walk, clean up the garbage that you see in the park. I do that all the time. I carry a backpack everywhere I go, and if I see garbage in the park, excuse me, I'll pick it up. You know, I can't, you know, solve the problems of recycling and the horrendous waste our society produces, but where I go, I will make that area just a little bit better. And if we all do that, then we have solved the problems of the world, right? Because if everybody takes the slight effort, it's not a big effort. It's not like, go and sacrifice your life for your country like so many of those poor soldiers are doing right now, going out and enduring horror and inflicting horror on the world. Nobody's asking, I'm certainly not asking people to engage in that kind of intense, you know, effort to make things different. No, small efforts, small random acts of kindness, absolutely. I'll give $10 to a homeless person, or better yet, I'll go and buy him a sandwich, you know. So if we all just take the time to make our little world, you know, the office where we work, and bring some flowers into the office, or and bring a painting that you bought at a yard sale and hang it up in your cubicle, you know. Things like that, if we all did that, or if at least, you know, a certain percentage of the population, I think if about 30% of the population had that kind of attitude that where they go in their small environment, they're going to make a little effort, not a big effort, no sacrifice, but do something a little bit extra to improve the quality of life for that environment, then if 30% of the people would do that, I think we would actually change society for the better. We'll defeat the psychopaths because they hate that stuff. Oh, my God, they hate that. That's why they go after, you know, they go after people and that have empathy the most. For you and the listeners right. that are listening, those of you that have empathy and you know who you are, I like to call them empaths, you know.
Yes.
You know. There is a target on your back. People come out of the woodwork to attack you. They can smell you. They can sense you. And they hate you. They really hate you. And
yes.
they will go after you for the very fact that you're a decent person. It's phenomenal. It's unbelievable to
and
see that.
It's not only what we see, what's tangible. There's a lot intangible that comes after us as well. And I know I've been... You know, as because I am an empath as well, and I do write about empathy and empaths. But yeah, I mean, we're targeted all over the place. We have got to be aware of who we are and what our vulnerabilities are. Well, hey, I'm so glad that you came on, and I want to thank you so much for the work that you do. And I'm really happy to be part of this, to be able to help get this message out, because I'm just so enamored with what you do and the different approaches that you have to it. I absolutely love your work, Stefan. So thank you for being my guest today, and I really hope you come to Fort Lauderdale, because if you do, I will come see it. That's where I am.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to try and come down to Fort Lauderdale because I'd like to get out of the winter for a minute, you know.
Come on down and contact me, you know. We'll get together. It'll be fun. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, I hate to say goodbye, but I do wish you great success with Trimonic. And like I said, you know, I'm really, really happy to be a part of this. So
thank you
great
so much
luck.
For having me.
Good luck with all of this.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Okay. All right. Take care. Hope
you
to
too.
Talk
Bye.
To you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show or any other shows, please email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. On the second Friday of every month, I will be opening up my show to questions about narcissistic personality disorder abuse. So if you have issues, I will be giving free advice on those shows. So be sure to call in at 424-220-1801 and ask your questions. Call early because the queue will fill up. There is also a new page that I started on Facebook called Compassionate Support for Narcissistic Abuse Survivors with Randy Fine. So check it out and help me support that page so we can support each other and support other people who are going through this horrible problem. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower so you will be advised of all the wonderful programming that I have. And maybe we'll get some more followers, so that would be great. Well, anyway, all my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. I want to thank you again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be.